Before the break, we were hearing about how Walt Disney and a team of creatives took a trip down to Latin America, basically to help fight the spread of Nazism in the 1940s. Now, that trip was part of the Good Neighbor Policy, which was President Roosevelt's plan to strengthen ties between North and South America. Almost immediately after World War II ended, a new ideology was gaining global strength and quickly became number one enemy to the United States.
Communism. And
I believed at that time that Mr. Sorrell was a communist because of all the things that I had heard.
That was Walt Disney himself, outing a Hollywood union leader as a communist in front of the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Many Hollywood actors, writers, and directors were under fire during that time when Senator Joseph McCarthy made it his personal mission to get rid of all communists in the United States. At the same time, communism was becoming more and more popular in Latin America. Fidel Castro was in Cuba, socialism was gaining favor in Venezuela, and then in 1970, Chile elected its first socialist president.
Porque somos la izquierda unida. Porque somos la unidad popular.
Salvador Allende becomes the first democratically elected Marxist. And here is when, once again, this guy somehow gets involved in U.S. and Latin American diplomacy. Our producer, Antonia Cerejido, brings us a story about Chile, book burning, and El Pato Donald.
When Ariel Dorfman was in his 20s, he was an idealistic writer who loved Marx.
There was a sense of exhilaration as I cannot describe.
As a dreamer and thinker, Ariel saw Chile as a nation of endless possibilities.
There's the idea that you can change everything, that the world that is being that has been narrated for you and by others about you is no longer valid, that you can tell your own story. And I can remember being in the midst of enormous crowds that were marching the night Allende won the election.
Really soon after the election, major changes were already underway. The national government was going to take back Chile's natural resources from big corporations. The land that peasants had previously worked on was now going to belong to them.
A real liberation of our country.
And Ariel saw that a political and economic revolution was happening in Chile. But as a writer, he thought the revolution needed to go one step further.
A revolution in the culture itself. Because most of the cultural products of Chile were all imported from abroad.
It was time for Chile to create its own cultural products and for Chilean artists to take their own work seriously. And it was while Ariel was thinking about how to do this that he met Armand Matelart, another young rabble-rousing writer. They met at a cocktail party. And immediately they hit it off and bonded over what all adult men bond over at cocktail parties.
Walt Disney. We're interested in Walt Disney.
They were particularly into Disney comic books.
Millions and millions of comic books in particular were being imported from outside Chile. And we thought, well, let's target Walt Disney and particularly Donald Duck, this very popular character, and let's read him. Let's show what are the hidden values and systems behind this.
For the next 10 days, Ariel and Armand devoured Donald Duck comic books, and they started to write about what they noticed. They identified what they saw as problematic characters, like this one Vietnamese rat.
One big rat. Who happened to be a Vietnamese revolutionary who was throwing bombs at the ducks, right?
So this Vietnamese rat is threatening the ducks. Donald's family, he has nephews named Huey, Dewey, and Louie for the Disney Philistines out there. But Ariel doesn't think the ducks are upstanding citizens either.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie saying, well, boys, when you grow up, what are you going to be? I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to be a capitalist. I'm going to exploit people.
In general, he was dismayed by the values the comics promoted.
Let's say greed versus solidarity or competition versus the idea of self-reliance.
So Ariel and Armand compiled all of these thoughts about the Disney animal heroes, and the final product was this 120-page book / essay called How to Read Donald Duck, or Para Leer al Pato Donald.
And the book became a runaway bestseller in Chile.
Chileans were hungry for a book that had the irreverent tone of the revolution itself. And Ariel was already a pretty established writer. He even worked as a cultural advisor to Salvador in this administration. And so he had a perspective that people were immediately drawn to. The book was really sarcastic. One passage, titled Instructions on How to Expel Someone from the Disneyland Club, started with the line, "The authors of this book are to be defined as follows, indecent and immoral." Yet, not everyone in Chile found the book insightful or funny.
There was a situation when I was crossing the street and somebody tried to run me over in his car shouting, "Viva el Pato Donald," which is really crazy. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's not funny if they try to run you over. We lived in a semi-bourgeois neighborhood and they stoned our house and began shouting, "Long live Donald Duck."
Outside of Ariel's world, there was a growing tension in Chile. The economy started to decline, and officials, including Supreme Court judges, began to complain that the government was ineffective at enforcing the law. Allende's popularity nationally still managed to stay relatively high, but many right-wingers, particularly military personnel, were losing patience. And so, on September 11th, 1973, Chile's military armed forces storms La Moneda. La Moneda is basically the Chilean White House. And they demanded that President Allende surrender the country. Allende ended up dying in La Moneda, and military leader Augusto Pinochet took over.
I wasn't there at the palace when Allende died and when so many of my other friends either died or were disappeared. And so I went on the run. I was told that I should go clandestine. And I was at a friend's house when she put on the television set. And live on television, there were a series of soldiers who were burning books. I mean, I had thought this was impossible, that you could burn books after the Nazis had done something similar so many years before, you know. So, and then the camera goes forward a little bit and it shows my own book being burned. So I found this very strange situation in which I was witnessing my own book being burnt on television live. I think probably I may have been the first person to watch his own book being burnt live. Of course, this was a coup which was fomented and helped by the United States, the land of Disney.
The Nixon administration was vehemently opposed to Allende's term, and the CIA had actually been working for 3 years to help organize the coup. The dream of a socialist Chile, one that wasn't influenced by a superpower like the United States, died overnight.
So we thought that we were roasting Donald Duck, and Donald Duck was roasting us all the time. In other words, he was much stronger than we thought he would be.
And part of what died was a whole edition of How to Read Donald Duck. It was thrown into the ocean, 5,000 copies, completely destroyed by the Chilean military government. So after this, Ariel had to go into exile and somewhat ironically ended up in the U.S. And in this new land, he wanted his manifesto to survive.
One of the things that I wanted to do as soon as I went into exile was I want this book to be published in the land of Disney.
Ariel felt that Disney wasn't just exporting oppressive values to the world, but it was oppressing its own people by instilling those values within the United States. Because according to Ariel, the whole notion of Donald Duck,
it had come out of the special idea of American innocence, American goodness, and American fun.
Very different from the version Disney was shoving onto American screens and pages. Disney was presenting an incomplete and sanitized version of the U.S. to itself.
There was no racism, for instance, in Disney's comics. That didn't exist. Hiroshima didn't exist in Disney's comics, etc. I could go on and on.
And this is the big thing Ariel wanted to expose. The biggest issue he took with Disney's animations is that they spread a false narrative of American innocence. U.S. publishers, however, did not want to help him spread that message. But not because of the book's politics, but rather good old-fashioned copyright infringement.
An army of lawyers was going to contest our copyright, because one of the things we had done in the book was we had filled it with Disney cartoons without asking permission. So we published it in London, and we imported 4,000 copies to the United States, which were immediately impounded by the U.S. Treasury Department.
The case was taken to court. The argument was that because How to Read Donald Duck was a critique, the inclusion of the comics in the book was fair use. And Ariel actually won.
But the Treasury Department only allowed us to import 1,500 copies of those books because of an arcane law from the 1890s or something like that had to do with copyright.
The few copies that did make it into the U.S. have since become collector's items, going for hundreds of dollars. But How to Read Donald Duck was not widely circulated, and it wasn't the household name that Ariel hoped it would be in the States. Regardless, Ariel has had a long career here in the U.S. He became a professor at Dartmouth and is now retired. But in Latin America, he's still mostly known for his thoughts on the duck.
Now, in Latin America, this book became a classic, and we sold a million copies, and it was published, I don't know, like 20, 30 languages around the world. So our duck has grown. But I must say that Disney's duck has grown even more than ours has. And the proof is that there's another Donald, but this Donald is not Donald Duck, but he's Donald Trump.
Ariel sees an eerie similarity between the narrative that the previous and current Donald are telling.
And his idea of Make America Great Again, in great measure, is a nostalgic idea of returning to the Walt Disney world of 1950s in Middletown America, when everything was fine and pure and supposedly perfect, right?
A world that Ariel thinks was never there to begin with. After 4 decades, Ariel has finally found a publisher in the U.S. who is willing to publish How to Read Donald Duck. A new edition of the book will be out next June.
Producer Antonia Cerejido.